You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're going to talk ecumenism. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sure.
Or ecumenism?
Ecumenism.
Ecumenism. We're going to talk about that today. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
We have someone here to help us answer the question of how to pronounce that.
That's good.
The Reverend Dr. Jonathan Shaw. He's Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Shaw, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
It is great to be here, Andy. Thanks.
We are talking ecumenism or ecumenism. I'm not sure what the correct way is to say that. You will certainly enlighten me. And you've written a helpful piece on this, particularly the Lutheran World Federation. You recently had an opportunity to learn more about the Lutheran World Federation, what this group is about, who it encompasses, and what that word ecumenism or ecumenism means, right?
It's true. You know, the world is God's vineyard. And so ecumenism is about bringing the gospel and the full word of God to the world. That's what it's about. The unity that the world has in Christ Jesus, united in him and his word. That's really what ecumenism is all about.
How have Lutherans historically approached ecumenism? Are there multiple ways, or is there kind of one way that Lutherans have approached this historically?
This is great. It's just not Lutherans, it's Christians. And going all the way back to Christ and the apostles. We need to make a distinction when we're talking about ecumenism or the world united in Christ. The first distinction is that every single believer is united with Jesus Christ. We call this the mystical union or the una sancta, all true believers across the entire world. Wherever the redemptive words and deeds of Jesus are proclaimed, which show us the love of the triune God, and wherever people are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those people, by faith and baptism, are united with Christ, and in that sense, united with each other as the flock of Christ. That's looking at the church based on individual believers. But there's another way to look at ecumenism, and it's generally what we mean, not just individual believers, but rather church bodies, which have a specific confession. This is what we believe, teach, and confess. And unity in confession is what church body unity is all about, so that we can say, we say the same thing that God says. That's what it means to confess the truth. It means to say the same thing. Well, first that means saying the same thing as God. What does God say? And that begins because he says we're sinners, so we confess sins. Homologeo, homologein in Greek. We say, God, we agree with you. We're sinners. And then we also confess the gospel, as in the symbols, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and then the distinctive Lutheran confessions. We confess this is what God has done for us and for our salvation. So the second way, and really it's the way when we're talking about ecumenism, church body unity around the world is always confessional unity. Do we say the same things that God says? And are these based on the inspired, inerrant word of God, which is the only rule and norm of faith and practice? And for us Lutherans, we subscribe to the entire Book of Concord because, that is quia in the Latin, it is a faithful exposition of the word of God.
As Director of Church Relations, I would assume this is really the essential part of your work, right? What is your role as Director of Church Relations for the LCMS?
Well, the vision of church relations is to enhance unity in Christ and his word worldwide. And we work with 104 church bodies worldwide, 43 of them, we are able to recognize our unity in what is taught, and so we are able to recognize altar and pulpit fellowship. They are sister churches, and another, maybe it will say 30 churches, we are working toward church fellowship. We have theological dialogue, theological conversations, theological education. Sometimes we help in mercy ministry, and this isn't just church relations. This is with the full facets of in organizations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But we're working to get to the point, God willing, where we can recognize a unity in Christ and what is taught in those church bodies. And then there are another 20 church bodies or so where we have other relationships, and we strive to have faithful ecumenism. That means being honest about what we agree on and what we disagree on, because we're aiming for unity in doctrine. And sometimes we'll publish joint statements about what we can agree on so far.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about the International Lutheran Council before, the church bodies that the LCMS does have altar and pulpit fellowship with, those closer relationships. But there's also the Lutheran World Federation that we have some disagreements with. Let's talk about the Lutheran World Federation, the LWF. Where did this federation begin? What was its purpose at the beginning?
First, let me state one clarification. The International Lutheran Council is not composed of all the churches, church bodies that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is in altar and pulpit fellowship with.
Okay, that's a good clarification.
So
thank you.
largely, that's the case, but it's not identical. Mm-hmm. So the ILC is a very important parachurch organization. It is not the church, but it is an organization which has a vital interest and is totally committed to a confessional Lutheran understanding of Christ and his scriptures and their authority in our lives today. So it's a wonderful organization. We're all for it, but that's not like the fellowship organ or something like this of the LCMS. Now, mm-hmm. but to the other part, what is the LWF? Well, you know, after World War I, there were a lot of, the League of Nations was formed. They were hoping that this would be the war to end all wars. And there were also a lot of ecumenical actions by church bodies saying, well, can't we just get together? Can't we be united? And so there was initially a Lutheran World Convention that formed, and it was both to bring Lutheran churches worldwide together, and it really didn't go into much more detail than that, and to coordinate post-war relief, that is, post-World War I relief. Mm. It didn't work out. But on the heels of World War II, another organization was formed, which is the Lutheran World Federation, and they had its first meeting in 1947. And initially, they had four goals, helping the needy, working together in mission, exploring theology together, and having a common response to this ecumenical challenge or this impulse to want to work together and eventually be united with other Lutherans. But when it was originally formed, it was considered a free association. In other words, everybody didn't sign up and say, well, we all believe the same thing. They said, no, we don't, but we want to talk about that. So that's how it began, as a free association. But it became chiefly under German and Scandinavian influence, a much more liberal Lutheran organization, which over time started to be authoritative for the churches and speak for the churches. In fact, there came a point even where it began to discipline member churches. And finally, by 1970, it had attempted to free itself from the number one significant doctrine for Lutherans, generally considered the Article of Justification. And it said we need to try to remake this article so that people can relate to it. It's true. And that's documented in the paper I've written. And the bottom line was they couldn't do it. They could not come to a consensus on how to reframe the doctrine of justification. And so they moved to a different principle for ecumenism, and it was called reconciled diversity. We can get to know each other and understand each other, but at some point we have to set aside the theological differences and say we can we'll just be a reconciled, theologically diverse body, and that will be our number one principle of ecumenism, reconciled diversity. This is against what Christ teaches. He says, Father, I pray that they will be one, even as we are one, speaking of the Holy Trinity. And then he says in that high priestly prayer, and sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So unity has always been unity in Christ, and for church bodies, a confessional unity where we agree on the truth of Christ in his word.
We're learning about ecumenism and the Lutheran World Federation today with Reverend Dr. Jonathan Shaw, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll take a look more at that paper and continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Talking with Reverend Dr. Jonathan Shaw, LCMS Church Relations Director, talking about ecumenism and the Lutheran World Federation, taking a look at a paper, the Lutheran World Federation Today, written by Dr. Shaw. Now, you've done a nice job of helping us understand ecumenism and a little of the history of the Lutheran World Federation. What have you learned more recently about the Lutheran World Federation through research? And did you have a chance to recently attend a session as well?
I did. About every 6 or 7 years, the LWF has its World Assembly. And the last assembly was in Krakow, Poland, September 13th through the 19th. Of last year, 2023. And so I was able to attend in a guest status, and they do the regular things that these assemblies do. There were certain elections to various positions. The General Secretary, Reverend Dr. Ann Burkhart, who was the theologian of the Estonian Evangelical Lutheran Church, she was not up for re-election, so she'll continue to serve in that position for a while. And however, the president was elected. That was the Reverend Henrik Stubkjær, the bishop of the Viborg Diocese of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Denmark. He was elected president. And they take various actions, budgetary actions. But most significantly for our purposes is the theology which is propagated there. Mm. And in this paper, which is now a book, The Lutheran World Federation Today, Missio Dei, Imago Dei, and the Ongoing Reformation, I seek to document how they use theological terms and what the theology of the LWF is today. And I want to hasten to add that published in an appendix to the book is the very, very fine work of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations in their assessment from 2022 of an introduction and an evaluation of the LWF from the theological perspective of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So studying the chief document which was published for this assembly, which was the Assembly Study Guide, has been published in 5 languages, I wanted to get at the deep theological meaning that was resident in that document. And it's a little tricky because they use words which, at many points, every good Lutheran would appreciate. Mission, the mission of God, gospel, baptism, wanting to stay away from misleading theologies, the image of God. But as you delve into this, you find out that each of these items means something entirely different from the historic Christian and confessional Lutheran understanding of those terms. I can give you an example. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be for missions or the mission of God, Missio Dei? Well, they use the term in a different sense. Most Lutherans, perhaps most even listening to this broadcast, would say, I'm for the mission of God. Hey, the Father sent his Son on the cross. He accomplished the mission by giving his life as an atonement for all sin, for all people, for all time. And the salvation of the world has been fully accomplished in the cross of Christ. And now it is brought to completion as the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts by the Word of God as it is preached and by the sacraments of Christ, so that our sins are forgiven, we are strengthened in the faith, and sealed into life everlasting. So Jesus Christ, as the eternal Son of God in the flesh, accomplished the mission given to him by the Father on the cross. He accomplished it externally with his life, death, and resurrection. And now this is brought to internal fruition by the work of the Holy Spirit, which creates and sustains us in the saving faith. This is not what the LWF means at all by the mission of God. They believe that the Father sent the Son, the Son sent the Spirit, and whatever they did, that part is done. But there is an additional sending, and now God sends his church, not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Spirit, but in general, the church into the world to create unity with all people. And how does the church do that? By being committed to the values of diversity, equity, inclusion, working toward justice in the realms of sex, gender, economy, environment, and any other kind of political or social injustice. This is how people are reconciled together and united. On the theological side, the principle is reconciled diversity. We can be diverse theologically. But on the political engagement side or social engagement, this is the mission that has been given to the church by God. It's an entirely different, we take an open perspective on how people vote, the social causes they have. For Christians, our bottom line values are defined by the Ten Commandments and by the self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments guide us morally. They're wonderful moral and solid, true moral principles. So we value the life of the unborn, for example, the Fifth Commandment. And we want people to receive a fair wage, but not to steal from other people, the Seventh Commandment, and so forth. But here the mission of God has gone away from salvation, away from justification and sanctification, to social justice. In fact, the keynote speaker for the assembly was Monsignor Professor Dr. Thomas Halleck. And his main point was that the Christian church needs to get outside of itself, outside of the confines of Christian doctrine, and seek unity with all people. People who are religious according to whatever religion, people who are atheists, and indeed, all life forms, that this is what the church is all about, that kind of deep-seated unity. And so this is one of the reasons that I wrote this paper. That is not who we are. The social agendas that you have and that you work for in your life, you should work to build up your neighbor, your family, your government. We honor these estates, the church given by God. But social justice and reconciliation with all life forms is not what Christ came to bring. He came to reconcile us, people, to God through him and his blood.
I think it's It's so critical for us to understand these distinctions, and I love how you dig into those differences, and this paper is so great for understanding those differences from our theological perspective. Something I noticed just looking through this list of terms, I like this list of terms and how often they occur in the Assembly Study Guide. Is there something telling about the ones that have no occurrence, forgiveness, atonement, repentance, those things don't exist at all? What does that tell us about the differences in our theology?
This is such a great point. Yeah, in terms of the frequency of occurrence, Missio Dei has 57 occurrences. The gospel has 44. The word baptism or baptismal occurs 44 times. The theology of the cross occurs 8 times, but there is no discussion, zero occurrences of repent or repentance, atone or atonement, forgive or forgiveness, no references. And not only that, there is one reference to evangelism, but it's negative. I mean, so by doing frequent term frequency analysis, you can find out what terms are related to what other terms and what is really meant. So the gospel, used 44 times in this document. What is the gospel, though, if you get into it? If we think about it, the works of Christ, this is how the work of Christ is discussed in this document. Christ, the eternal Son, took on human flesh, took up a vulnerable human body, and suffered under the unjust power structures of his day exercised by the Roman authority, Pontius Pilate. And yet he was faithful in working toward reconciliation against the unjust power structures of the day, and Christians follow that Christ when they work against the unjust power structures of our day. This is an entirely different and foreign gospel to the Holy Scriptures. That's very sad. So Christians must be very careful that they don't read into LWF documents the historic understanding or freight of theological terms.
With just about a minute or so left, how is this document and what you've learned and what you've shared with us about Lutheran World Federation and other church bodies and ecumenism, how is that important to the average lay person? Why would we want to have a clear understanding of who we are, what we believe, and what other church bodies believe, teach, and confess as well, and have some clarity in that, clear understanding of those differences?
Just like this discussion we're having will be broadcast and shared around the world, even so, LWF theology is broadcast and shared around the world. We have to be very, very careful when we hear other people mention things which are inherently attractive to Lutherans. Baptism, the theology of the cross, gospel, missions. We have to ask the question, what do you mean by that? How is this attached and communicating the redemptive words and deeds of Jesus as the eternal Son of God who revealed the fullness of the will and the love of the Father for us and for our salvation? How is this representative of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of Christ, the Holy Scriptures, which are inspired and inerrant, and Christ's sacraments, or not? There are a lot of false shepherds which can use these words and suck people in. So one of the purposes, the main purpose of this is if anybody has the historic Christian faith, they need to be extraordinarily careful. And when they hear LWF theologians, remember church theologians speak, for it is not the gospel. It is a false gospel.
You can find this document at lcms.org. We'll share the link directly to it in our program notes today as well. Our guest, the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Shaw, LCMS Church Relations Director. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
It's my privilege and honor. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.